Hey there, everybody. It is October the 6th, 2010. You are listening to This Show Is So Gay, and you're listening to us on WVEWLP 107.7 FM Brattleboro Community Radio. You're listening to us alongside the other fine broadcasts on clickexposed.com. We're over on freethoughtradio.com. We're hanging out on Grateful Dread Public Media. We're broadcasting with Pride worldwide on QNation.fm and just generally being gay, just out there in the world. I'm Ken, welcoming back to the show a very sick
Jody.
Oh, that was the cutest little thing I've ever heard.
Oh, dear.
You know who I'm with right now? A very sick
Jody.
That's awesome. Welcome back.
Thanks.
How you doing over there?
I'm doing okay. Better than I was earlier today.
Are you feeling gay?
Yes, gay and slightly ill.
All right.
Yes.
It's kind of difficult to know where to start with this week's show. So last week when I was on, I was talking, the Rucker suicide had just happened.
Oh,
Tyler Clementi,
yeah.
It had happened. I mean, we're talking, it was something like hours before, or
right.
the media coverage was hours before, and then Raymond Chase at Johnson & Wales College, and then all the pieces started coming together, and wait, we're not talking about four, we're talking about five suicides. And so there was this little blip that said the deaths of five teen boys in recent weeks have jolted the LGBT community and prompted an outpouring of grief, anger, and calls for solutions to what appears to be a growing problem. And Arne Duncan, who is the Secretary of Education, had this to say, quote, "Whether it's students harassing other students because of ethnicity, disability, or religion, or an adult public official harassing the president of the University of Michigan student body because he is gay," and listen to last week's show if you don't know that story, "it is time we as a country said enough, no more, this must stop," end quote, "no plan of action."
Yeah, that's always helpful.
So were your kids talking to, if you don't know, are very sick,
Jody
works in education. Were your kids talking about this? Did it come up?
It did come up. It mostly came up via Facebook.
Okay.
There was sort of this firestorm of posts and reposts of the articles about this.
Mm-hmm.
In particular, the Ellen statement.
Yes.
Made the rounds, and not just with my kids, but with a lot of my work colleagues,
yeah,
as well. It was all over the place, tons and tons of comments. We didn't end up talking about it hugely in the groups, though, because they know we're actually getting to it. We're actually about to embark on revamping and getting back on its feet a show that we have that addresses bullying, particularly at the lower grades. So they know that it's coming. They know we're going to be talking about it. They're talking about it already. And we've actually been talking a whole lot about diversity and labeling anyway in preparation for an event we've got tomorrow. So it's definitely out there. And
more of an action plan than proposed by Arne Duncan, Secretary of Education.
Yeah. I mean, we were going to be doing the diversity conference anyway, but it just makes it even more important that we're there, we're doing it, we're working on the topics.
Right.
So
so many different elements to the story. So many different elements.
Yeah.
Now, did you hear how the news broke, really, of Raymond Chase, the suicide at Johnson & Wales?
No, actually, I didn't.
So the president of Johnson & Wales sent out an email, and the news really broke on PerezHilton.com. You didn't hear this?
No.
So the news broke on PerezHilton.com, and it broke really early in the morning, and I was up extraordinarily early. That had to have been,
for whatever reason.
Yeah, Thursday morning, yeah. Friday morning, I'm not sure what it was. And Perez Hilton had this whole post. I didn't even cut and paste it, but about this has to stop. This has to stop. This bullying is unacceptable. And maybe the second commenter said, "Are you freaking kidding me? I mean, you, he does a weekly masterclass in cyberbullying."
Yeah, he does.
And so I wrote him. I wrote him on behalf of, hey, listeners, I hope this is okay. I said on behalf of all the listeners of This Show Is So Gay. And I wrote, I'll pull it up a little later on in the show, but wrote him a whole email saying, listen, you care about this. You obviously care about this, but you do the weekly tutorial in cyberbullying.
Yeah.
And he has millions of people. Millions and millions of people who go to his site every day.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm condemning Perez Hilton on this show. I don't think he listens, so I'm okay with it. But that's what it is. You know, he draws he draws penises on people's faces. This is his thing. Or he does horrible things. And so it's not okay that he says, but the gays, we need to be better. That's No,
it's not okay. And this was actually something just today, as I was home healing from feeling yucky, I was looking at comments on there's now this thing where you can put on your Facebook status the names of the recent suicide victims.
Yeah.
And if you stand up against bullying, post this as your status.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few folks who are actually having a conversation after that post saying, oh, how does this happen? How can this bullying happen? I was bullied when I was in middle school, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I posted on there saying the reason it happens is that the adults in our society allow it to happen.
Right.
They allow it to happen because we don't teach the difference between what sarcasm is and when does it get actually mean. When is it mean? And our society is so sarcastic that it's hard to tell. That and adults don't have the tools to give to the kids to prevent it. They think, oh, kids will be kids, so let's not do anything about it. Or they're too scared to do something about it. They think that they're going to get retribution from parents or from politicians or whoever. Or I don't know. But those are the biggest ones. We, as adults, are not role modeling how to not do this.
But we definitely need the tools. I think people.
Yeah,
need,
we do. No, we absolutely. And a lot of these adults who aren't able to be these role models, they don't have the tools. They were bullied themselves, and they're afraid. And it reminds them of when they were bullied, and they don't know how to handle it, and they're afraid to ask for help because they're embarrassed or they're just paralyzed by fear. And it's incredible how long the effects of bullying can last.
Mm.
With an adult, whether it happened maybe for just 1 year of middle school or maybe just 1 year of elementary school or whether it happened your whole school career, it's absolutely a devastating thing to have happen and have to live with.
Well, let's focus on some people who are taking action. One of my favorite senators I don't really, I'm just debating the phrase. Oh, I have favorite senators. Like I have a calendar or something. Minnesota Senator Al Franken.
Oh, I love Al Franken. He's great.
Earlier this year, he introduced a bill explicitly addressing anti-gay bullying in public schools. And he has condemned recent statements by a social conservative group claiming that such legislation is not only unnecessary, but would serve to indoctrinate students into homosexuality.
Right.
Because a bill can do that. That was on that after school special, how a bill becomes
right,
a law
right.
and turns you gay.
And turns you gay,
where they cut off right there. That's where the Schoolhouse Rock stopped. But right after the bill became a law, it started sleeping with other laws of the same sex.
Of the same gender.
So Franken said that teen suicides resulting from anti-gay bullying in Minnesota has made passage of the Federal Student Non-Discrimination Act a priority. The bill introduced by Franken in May would expressly prohibit schools from discriminating against students based on sexual orientation and gender identity or ignoring harassment based on those characteristics. Schools found to violate the law could lose funding from federal departments and agencies. This is the Federal Student Non-Discrimination Act. So Al Franken, he's trying.
Yeah, he is. That's good.
More than Arne Duncan, Secretary of Education.
Mm.
With that, we're going to play a little bit of music. This is a song called Cold War by Janelle Monáe, who I love, as requested by tonight's very special guest. Enjoy. So you think I'm alone?
The ground's the only place to be, 'cause then there's a light.
That's Janelle Monáe. Love her. Do you know Janelle Monáe?
No, I don't.
She's got an amazing song called Tightrope, the video for which I adore. A little bit more on the previously mentioned topic. Beginning at midnight Pacific Standard Time Wednesday, so 3 a.m. our time, and lasting throughout the day, novelist Rakesh Satyal is offering his award-winning debut, Blue Boy, as a free Amazon Kindle download to help readers cope with the devastating series of recent LGBT teen suicides. Blue Boy, published in 2009 by Kensington Books, won the Lambda Literary Award for Gay Debut Fiction that year. The novel tells the story of Kiran Sharma, a 12-year-old boy growing up in a traditional Indian household in Cincinnati in the early 90s. Kiran is an only child who is gay, struggles in the book with bullying and his family's conservative pressures, but perseveres because of his indomitable spirit and confidence in his unique creativity, imagination, and artistic sense. So that's going to be a free download for the next 24 hours, starting 3 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, midnight Pacific Standard Time, for the entire next day on the Amazon Kindle. Do you have an Amazon Kindle?
I don't
have one either. No. I was given one.
Yeah.
And I returned it. I didn't even
you
take
didn't
it
like
out
it.
Of the box.
Oh,
I didn't even look at it because I didn't get the whole... I like mussing up books, I dog-ear things, and I need to be able to flip back and forth really quick for class so I look like I know what I'm talking about.
Right.
But kudos to Rakesh Satyal, who is giving this away for free, and hopefully that will help folks. So that's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing, yeah.
Over in New York City, did you hear about the anti-gay beating?
No.
Of all the places in the entire world that an anti-gay beating could have happened, where in New York City, take a wild guess, of all the places in the world that an anti-gay bully came in and beat someone up, that would be at the Stonewall Inn. Come on. It almost doesn't get better than that in terms of irony.
Yeah.
A patron at the Stonewall Inn, if you don't know, a powerful symbol of the gay rights movement since protests over a 1969 police raid there. This patron was tackled to the floor and beaten in an anti-gay bias attack this past weekend. Two men were arrested in the early Sunday beating, which came little more than a day after a group of male friends bidding an affectionate goodnight to each other were attacked in another anti-gay assault elsewhere in Manhattan. Crazy.
Wow.
Crazy. And the survivor of the attack is one of the founders of thenewgay.net. And we had Zach Rosen. It wasn't Zach Rosen, but it was someone else who started thenewgay.net. So he's doing okay, and that's a good thing, but that's a little nutty.
Yeah.
Not good.
No.
Not good.
No.
Now, do you remember, Jody, do you remember our friend Jennifer Keaton?
Jennifer Keaton.
Jennifer Keaton was our buddy who is in a counseling program.
Oh,
do you remember Jennifer Keaton?
Yeah.
Now Jennifer Keaton,
I do. Yes.
Who claimed that Augusta State University violated her rights by ordering her not to practice, according to her personal view that homosexuality is an identity disorder. She now has supporters. There is a rally planned in her honor, planned by... You guessed it. They haven't been around in a little bit, or we haven't talked about them on this show. The Ku Klux Klan.
Awesome.
I don't even think I've ever said... When was the last time you said the Ku Klux Klan?
First of all, it's really hard to say.
Who even says
that anymore? I mean, I think her career is dead, except amongst Klan members.
Yes, she is now the therapist of the Klan. Who even talks about the Klan?
This
is how good this is. I got to read a little bit from this.
Okay.
According to the Augusta Chronicle, quote, Bobby Spurlock, who identified himself as Imperial Wizard Nighthawk and Grand Dragon of the South Carolina and North Carolina, said the KKK has met with school officials and plans to protest the school's treatment of 24-year-old Jennifer Keaton on October 23rd from 1 to 4 p.m., right in the middle of the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Klan members will be in full dress across from the school's main Walton Way entrance in the median at Fleming Avenue. Now, Keaton, as we covered on the show about a month and a half ago, lost her First Amendment lawsuit against the school in federal court this year, Spurlock, who I want to remind everyone, is an Imperial Wizard Nighthawk and Grand Dragon. Now, I know it's the clan. I get that.
Yeah.
I know it's the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
I want a duck to drop from the ceiling every time I say that. But let's be honest. Now, you're a little ill. Are you on any meds right now?
Not at the moment.
Okay.
No.
But you're a little out of it.
Yeah, a little bit.
So I can perhaps get you to admit, aside from the Ku Klux Klan part, you would not mind being an Imperial Wizard Nighthawk and Grand Dragon.
If it was for a live-action role-playing game, I'd be all about it, because that would probably mean you had, like, really awesome skills and powers and stuff.
I mean, you just, in that moment, got fired from your job because apparently you want to be in the clan, but it's really quite unbelievable. So he claims that 100,000 members in 41 states and 21 countries will be in solidarity. Members, again, of the Ku Klux Klan. I can't even think. Certainly, they've never been mentioned on this show.
No, not until today.
Wasn't too sure that they were still around.
No, because they haven't been doing a whole lot as far as
but
I know.
But everybody has allies. And so, Jennifer Keaton, take pride in your allies, the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd really want to consider that social capital.
Look, their pension plan, apparently, is going to be pretty good for her as the therapist, the official therapist for them. So, that was... a little bit remarkable.
That's definitely remarkable. It's definitely remarkable.
And then very quickly, U.S. Senator, I don't know if you heard this, Jim DeMint, a Republican from South Carolina, who also, that's the state where Bobby Spurlock, the Imperial Wizard Nighthawk and Grand Dragon of the KKK, he's there too in that state.
Mm-hmm.
He just said neither openly gay people nor sexually active unmarried women should be allowed to teach in the classroom.
Oh, I heard about that.
Enjoy. Mm-hmm. That's what we're going to say about that. All right, we're going to play a little music. We're going to welcome a guest. Good times. Songs that I don't have on my iPod. It's good stuff. Hey, guest, are you there?
I'm here.
Let's introduce you. Neda Ulaby reports on arts, entertainment, and cultural trends for NPR, National Public Radio, and hosts its award-winning Culturetopia podcast. Her work includes profiling actors, authors, musicians, and those who inform the world through creative expression. She covers the complicated relationships between art, artists, and society. Culturetopia won a Gracie Award for Outstanding Podcast from the American Women in Radio and Television. Neda has received the USC Annenberg Getty Arts Journalism Fellowship and a fellowship from the Knight Center for Specialized Journalism to study youth culture. She used to host a radio program called Who's Coming Out at the Movies, and I can only assume her crowning radio achievement in her already distinguished radio career, a guest spot on This Show Is So Gay back in December of 2008. Neda Ulaby, after far too long of a hiatus, welcome back to This Show Is So Gay.
Thank you.
It's so...
I hope your listeners can feel me blushing.
Oh, come on. You did all those things.
The best part, though, was you're right. Was your show. I've been waiting. I'm on my phone, and I've been waiting.
Well, it's so funny. You were on our 10th show, and right now you're on our 97th show.
Wait, why am I not on your 100th show?
I hear what you're saying, Neda, and I see you and validate you, and welcome to our 97th show.
I'll take what I can get. It's great to be on your 97th show. Thank you.
So let's pick up where we left off back in December of 2008. Has Carl Castle asked about me?
Carl Castle has since retired.
Oh.
Having learned how to completely pronounce my name, we miss him very much.
Oh, but he's still on my Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me podcast.
Yeah, no. He does do that.
Okay. So he's not out of my life completely.
Just be grateful that he knows how to pronounce your name.
I know, and I have it. I have it on a CD, burned on a CD. That's my prize from my guest spot there. All right, so tell everyone, what is gay out there in arts and entertainment and culture? As our arts and entertainment and culture expert, what should we know about that we don't currently know about?
You know, it's just so out there. I mean, what can I tell you that you haven't seen? Like, do I say, watch Glee, watch Modern Family?
Do you watch these shows religiously?
Yeah, totally. Of course. I mean, it's so good that we're living in a golden era of television. I'm so excited. Aren't you, Ken?
I am very excited. No, I am very excited. I'm a little... There aren't a lot of... I know that GLAAD released this study last week. Certainly, in the few shows that I watch, it's a high concentration of gay characters. But I'm now learning that the shows that I watch have most of the gay characters on TV.
Well, it's because they're the best shows, and I think there's a correlation.
I hope that there's a correlation.
I honestly believe there's a correlation.
Okay.
You look at shows like, you know, I was just watching the new HBO series, Boardwalk Empire.
I've not seen it.
Well, you know, and I really, really wanted to watch and like the show. I think, you know, like a lot of people who love shows like The Sopranos and The Wire and Sex and the City, you know, you're rooting for HBO. But this was a show, and it's not that I didn't... like, and I have to also qualify, I only saw the first one, but there's not a single female character, let alone a gay character. There's no gay character.
Oh.
There's not a single female character that is a fully developed female character.
Huh.
And, you know, it's just hard for me to respect a show.
Yeah.
It cannot make that tiny little step. Do you know what I mean?
Because there are a lot of women out there in the world. I've met them.
There are 50-some percent. That's what I've heard.
I thought you were going to say they're around 50. I've met, I think, more, but sure, 50. That's fine.
So anyway, I mean, you know, a show that reflects the real composition of the demographics of the world, I kind of like.
All right.
You know? I don't know. Is that unreasonable, Ken?
No, it's not unreasonable. I think I'm still trying to figure out how the paragon of queer cinema is Prince Caspian, but we can talk about that at a later date.
No, Ken, I was not actually watching Prince Caspian. I was talking to you.
Okay. I appreciate that. So now I have to tell you.
I happened to be playing the last time we were speaking because there's a limited holiday selection of movies on Christmas the last time we talked.
All right. You watch it every night. So I have to tell you, I'm just saying. People so excited that you're going to be on the show. What is it? What is the relationship between the gay community and NPR? Because there's something there.
You think?
You don't?
I, know, I think a lot of people, and I'm so grateful and excited about this, a lot of people relate to NPR.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, if I was to make some sort of correlation between, like, the gay community's relationship to NPR and, like, the taxi driver community's relationship to NPR, I'd have to give it to the taxi drivers.
Oh.
Taxi drivers are really, really, really into NPR.
You know, I had no idea.
Every time I get into a cab, NPR's on. Every time I get into a gay person's car, Madonna is on. I don't know if I'm going to say that, like, gay people have a special relationship with NPR.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that the only reason I listen to NPR is because Ari Shapiro is so pretty, but, all right, I just said it,
pretty,
didn't I?
Pretty, yes.
He's very pretty.
He's very pretty.
It's very pretty. And they made a joke about this on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me last week. But I have to say, as I was watching The Good Wife, by the way, one of my favorite shows on television.
Great show.
That they were laughing that I guess it was big news over at NPR that there was a sex scene on The Good Wife with All Things Considered in the background.
That's right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Well, but isn't that everybody's, you know, background music?
All right, well, Netta, as always, great having you on the show. Anytime I don't know where to go from there.
I mean, I thought this was, it's not a gay thing. It's like,
it's universal,
right?
Universal arousal. We'll go with that. So now
especially in Vermont.
Well, and now that you've just said that magic word, word on the street is that you perhaps might have a Vermont connection coming up.
I do. I have a really deep, really, It's actually, I say it's really deep, but it's not. It's a fairly new, but it's a very deeply felt Vermont connection. My girlfriend, Robin Brand, her family has a great deal they're very deeply rooted in Vermont. They've been there for a long time, and Robin and I have recently bought a place in Vermont.
Wow.
We love Vermont, and we're happy to spend as much time as possible there. We're going to be there in a couple of days, and we can't wait. Really, I mean, I kind of feel like our days are about, like, waiting until the next time we can get to Vermont.
Now, I have to say, I tend to listen to NHPR a little bit more than VPR because it comes in more.
You live in Brattleboro.
Now, you will be north of Brattleboro, correct?
Which, well, anything's north of Brattleboro.
Well, I assume, which is, I think north of Brattleboro is technically defined here in Brattleboro as Canada. I think that's...
Not quite in Canada. I have no objections to Canada. I'm happy that we're fairly close to Canada, but I'm also happy to be close to Massachusetts.
Okay.
A state I'm a very big fan of.
And you're going
to... You're lucky enough to be in between those two nice places.
Well, in between Massachusetts and Netta Ullaby. That's where everybody wants to be. That should be a bumper sticker. But you'll come down to Brattleboro, say, for the strolling of the heifers during the summer.
If I'm invited for shows, perhaps, you know, 126th anniversary.
Wow.
Maybe.
Look at that. Netta Ullaby in the station on the 120. I'm booking that right now. Now,
I'm waiting for my invite.
you mentioned a certain Robin something or other.
That would be my girlfriend.
Now, this is very interesting because I would say that you two represent very different parts of the gay community. Hers is very political.
On the top part, she's the bottom part.
Okay, we'll go with that. And oh my God, am I not exploring that? Can I say what she does? Do you want to say what she does?
Well, Robin is Robin works in gay politics.
Yes.
And what she does is really, really cool. What she does is she works to elect gay and lesbian and transgender and intersex and bisexual people to elected office across the United States. She works for an organization called the Victory Fund.
Yes.
Which is an extraordinary organization. And they have been very successful in electing LGBTIs. I was actually just looking at someone's Facebook, and they were like, what is I? It's intersex?
Intersex,
all,
yeah.
All different kinds of candidates who, from all different kinds of perspectives to positions across the United States. And she's great at it. She's really, really good at it. And I'm incredibly proud of her.
Well, I will say Chuck Wolf will be a guest on this show on November 17th.
Oh, good. Yeah, Chuck is amazing.
Look at that. So now, do you guys talk politics at home, or when she gets home, no politics?
Oh, I would say a judicious admixture.
Okay.
As with all of our homes. You want to sort of get into it, and you want
right.
to... It doesn't matter. You know, you both have opinions, you both have ideas, and you talk, and you sort of... argue a little bit, and at some point you're like, you know what, let's just turn on Modern Family and not talk about it anymore.
I thought, I was really hoping you would say Prince Caspian right there. I just want that to be your go-to therapy cinema.
That is your fantasy.
My fantasy is being between Netta Ullaby and Massachusetts. It's already coming true for me, so I'm good.
No, it's between Massachusetts and Prince Caspian.
Ari Shapiro and Prince Caspian, but that's a whole different show. That's not for families. That comes on at 10 p.m. I have to tell you, I have Jody's co-hosting tonight. She's over on the other side of the studio. She just put her head down on the desk. So that really indicates how this is going, you know, for me. So,
you know, I used to work in gay media.
I know.
So I'm not afraid of you.
Okay. I don't want you to be.
Or Jody.
Oh, I would be afraid of Jody. I'm just saying.
I'm a little afraid of Jody.
Okay. She's over there. It's put your head back down, honey. Put your head back down. Now, does her life get so much more crazy as the elections approach?
I'm just going to brag for a minute. My girlfriend is kind of a big boss lady these days.
Nice.
And when I first met her, she would get down in it, and she'd be all, like, running the elections and stuff like that. And now she just kind of floats above it and, like, raises money.
Nice. That
and
works.
So, yeah. I don't know. She's kind of always, she's always busy and she's always crazy.
Well, I will say, I did cover this on the show a few months ago. I think one of the biggest victories for the Victory Fund was one they didn't even invest money in. And that would be, what are you laughing at over there? You see what's coming up?
Yeah, that, you're laughing at.
That would be when I, Ken Schneck, was appointed by the Brattleboro Select Board to be the Brattleboro Fence Arbiter.
Wait, have you talked to my girlfriend?
No. Was she a fence arbiter?
I've got to tell you a story. Can I tell you a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. So a couple of years ago, NPR was doing this series about, do you remember when we were all getting stimulus checks from the government and it was like the princely sum of $200 or $300?
It was great. Oh, it was fantastic. I loved it.
So NPR decided to do a story about like how far, not a story, but like a series about how far you could get on a stimulus check. And so I did this piece about going to a wood chopping competition in West Virginia, which is like 5 hours. I had to drive out there. And it was kind of amazing. I mean, I don't know if you've ever seen wood choppers, but there's really something for everyone of the gay persuasion. There's not a lot of gay people who are actually there, but, you know, if you like bears, they're there. If you like sort of burly guys, they're there. If you like hot women chopping down huge phallic things, they're there also.
Nice.
But, you know, all of that kind of stuff aside, it is actually amazing. Wood chopping competitions are incredible. They're incredible athletes. They're so graceful. They do their thing. They do it really fast. And they're all, like, huge environmentalists. So anyway, okay, so I'm there in West Virginia at this wood chopping competition. And I'm staying, there's not a lot of hotels because all of the wood choppers are staying around there. So I'm staying, like, an hour away in
this tiny
little village in West Virginia. And I'm staying at this very sweet B&B. It's great. And I pull in, and basically this town is a bunch of abandoned Victorian houses that various people have renovated, and that's it, and made into B&Bs. Pull into the B&B. Across the street is a beautiful Victorian house festooned with, like, bear flags. You know, the brown ones with the paw prints?
Yeah.
And so I'm staying at my B&B, and, like, you know, it's run by a straight couple, and I'm chit-chatting with the owner, and she's like, oh, yeah, you know, the mayor and his boyfriend hang out here all the time at our bar. They play the piano, and I'm like, the mayor and his boyfriend? Do they live at the beautiful Victorian across the street with the flags, with the rainbow flags and the paw print flags? And she's like, And I'm like, really? That's the mayor of your town? Just like, And I call my girlfriend. And I'm like, Robin, there's an elected official. Because her organization is only about one thing, and that's electing gay people.
Yeah.
Robin, did you know there's a gay mayor of, like, this little tiny town in West Virginia? And Robin, there's silence. And she's like, we do not know of any elected gay officials, openly gay elected officials.
Wow. She's like, I'm on my way.
Basically. So I get the two of them in touch, and suddenly this guy has the total support of this national gay political organization.
Wow.
So awesome. And this guy, by the way, is the drama teacher at the local high school.
Of course he is.
You know? So, and flying his bear flag. Love it.
So what you're saying then, as the Brattleboro fence arbiter, there might be, is that what I'm called, Jody? I don't even remember what I'm called. The fence viewer. The viewer. I am the Brattleboro fence viewer.
I'm just saying that you can shoot a little higher.
All right. I didn't,
you know?
I think that's pretty much as high as it goes here in Brattleboro, but sure, Netta. Whatever. That's good.
I don't know. Couldn't you be like the Brattleboro stained glass arbiter or something like that?
That's a little too much for me, but it's important that I recognize my limits.
You know, I like you being where you are, because you get to talk on your, 97th or 126th or,
97th, and then you'll be here in the studio.
Good.
Yeah. No, now you get to cover all these really amazing, I love your stories on NPR. Do you ever have a desire to kind of do more? Are there stories that come up that are more news stories, more politics story, that you're sitting there thinking, oh, I want to do that? Or do you like, you definitely have a niche on NPR.
What's my niche?
Arts.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah. Do you hear some of these more news politics stories and say, I want to cover those stories?
No.
All right.
No, I'm an arts girl. You know, I mean, and I'll tell you, Ken, this is what that is about for me. And I'm going to go deeply personal here, but I came of age during the AIDS crisis.
Okay.
And I grew up reading the newspaper at the New York Times in my little Midwestern library public high school. And for me, reading about the AIDS crisis happened not on the front pages, not in the metro section, but in the arts pages.
Yeah, definitely.
That's where I learned about AIDS, and that's where I learned about gay people. It was being covered through arts. And that, for me, was just an incredibly important lesson of why arts journalism is important and why I actually don't want to leave it.
Yeah.
I think arts journalism is actually a place where you can explore incredibly pressing, important social issues that the front page is not going to touch.
Oh, I want you to come to my class this semester. I'm teaching a class at Marlborough College this semester called Community-Based Performance. And it's all about the intersection between art and social change and how do we change the world through art. And I want Netta Olby to come to my class.
I'll come.
Okay.
Marlborough College sounds like an incredible place. I've heard about it. I've never been there. It sounds like an amazing college.
Jody, where did you graduate from?
I graduated from Marlborough College.
Look at that.
She speaks. Yes. My mic has been off, actually. So
she's been putting her head down. I'm letting her rest.
Tell Ken to let, you know, make that mic live.
Yes. I pointed to it.
I thought you were having a seizure.
No.
That's my bad.
No.
My bad.
You're misinterpreting me.
Okay.
And actually, students from Ken's class are coming to the program that I run in New Hampshire, which is an issue-oriented improv theater ensemble for local youth in one of the high schools in Keene.
That.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Jody, you're a hero. What
I'm turning your mic off. She never called me a hero.
Leave it on. What did you major in Marlborough?
It was a double major in anthropology and theater.
Oh my god, that's so cool. Kenny's been holding out on me.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to overwhelm you.
I'm overwhelmed. How cool.
It is very cool. I'm very honored to have found the job doing this work.
Well, it sounds like they found someone really good to do it.
Look at you. Yeah, no, I have to say, it's really cool. The course that I'm teaching, my students come to class one day a week, and then they have to be out in the community doing some sort of arts-based, performance-based internship the other day a week. Instead of, I don't want them in class 2 days a week. I'd rather have them once a week and get out there and actually do something. So
what
three
kind of stuff do they do?
Well, three of them are with Jody doing health improv theater.
Yeah, issue-oriented improv theater.
Yeah, issue-oriented. Yep. I have two students who are at the New England Youth Theater at a project called Theater Adventure Project, which is theater with people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a couple that are with Sandglass Theater, which is pretty world-famous Sandglass Theater, puppetry mm-hmm. and issues and cool things like that. And then I also have two students at this really cool place called the Mahalo Arts Center. And they're doing intergenerational theater, appreciating the environment.
Are you serious?
I have to tell you, I hope none of the other professors are listening, I'm definitely teaching the coolest class at the college right now.
I think you are. This is incredible.
Well, it's just, this is a course that I took when I was 19 years old at NYU. And now I went full circle around and I'm teaching it.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm pretty flipped out about the whole thing. It's quite an amazing experience to have them come in and say, Jody was so amazing and I want to do this for the rest of my life, because sitting in class twice a week with me reading, you know, about Boal, that's not going to do it.
I don't want to talk to your classes. I want to be in your class.
Oh, come to class. I'll give you, you can get credit.
Okay. I need credit.
I'm a very hard grader.
I get a crew. I'll take it.
There you go. Well, okay. We have to talk about your music, ma'am.
Yeah.
Because as always, fascinating music requested by Netta Ulaby. We're going to start out. So this is the part of the show, I don't know if you recall, where you tell our listening audience what these songs say about Netta Ulaby.
Well, I'll just tell you, all of these songs mostly are cribbed from a piece I recently did.
Awesome.
I was doing this series called Hey Ladies, which is about women musicians. And it's this huge project. They surveyed over 700 female musicians and asked them their perspective on their experience. And the piece that I did was about role models. A number of younger women were saying that they didn't really feel like they had the role models that older women musicians had. They didn't feel like they had the sort of Joan Jett and Grace Licks and Janis Joplin.
Yeah.
Frankly, that left me a little cold. I was like, really? I mean, that's like having Amy Winehouse as your role model. I mean, great voice, amazing, but role model? And so the piece was talking to various women musicians about the idea of being role models and about being icons. So I talked to Katy Perry, and I think Miss Independent is one of the songs.
Yeah, well, that's coming up. We can start there. What does Miss Independent say about Netta Ulaby?
You know, what it says to me is my newfound respect for Kelly Clarkson, actually. Kelly Clarkson was one of the, I think she was the original winner of American Idol.
She certainly was.
And I don't know about you guys, but I don't know, like, I tend to like a musician who sort of works outside of the big corporate structure.
Right.
The thing that's great about Kelly Clarkson is that she was a product of that and then completely reinvented herself.
Yes.
Someone outside of that. And I think she's a really interesting musician, a woman who is a great performer and has a lot to say, and certainly has broken the mold of what the record industry thinks a female performer should be, partly in terms of her weight, which has been a huge sort of public battle.
Unbelievable.
How she markets and sells herself as a singer and a songwriter, which is something that I love about her. Are you guys gonna play her music?
We're gonna play Miss Independent. But I want to ask you about one more song, because this is an artist, and I don't know how I missed this boat. I didn't have this song on my iPod, but it was only recently that, God, who was the guest? Mia Mingus, who is this amazing, amazing activist, just advocating for transracial adoption and queer people with disabilities. She requested Tightrope by Janelle Monáe.
Oh,
I had never heard of Janelle Monáe.
You'd never heard of Janelle
Monáe? I didn't. I guess I missed completely the Janelle Monáe boat. And so now you have requested Cold War by Janelle Monáe. What does Cold War, or even just Janelle Monáe, what does that say about Netta Ulaby?
Janelle Monáe is amazing.
She's amazing.
I cannot even begin to explain the amazingness that is Janelle Monáe. She's a younger artist. She can do anything from super duper poppy dance songs to just full-hearted folk songs to these orchestral suites. She's an African-American artist who includes in her influences Octavia Butler. I don't know if you know her, but she's an incredible writer, a science fiction writer, who actually, by the way, is having a memorial dedicated to her this coming weekend in Lincoln, Vermont.
Oh.
And she's a MacArthur Genius Grant winner. She's amazing. If your listeners have not checked out Octavia Butler, who is, by the way, I don't think she ever identified as lesbian, but a lot of people have claimed her as a lesbian writer. She's incredible. So Janelle Monáe draws on Octavia Butler, a lot of other influences. She's incredible. Can we just play her music? It's so great.
Oh, we've already played it.
You did? Okay.
Oh, my gosh. I have to tell you, the video for Tightrope, I've watched it so many times.
You know?
I love it.
And how many artists can go from, like, club to, like, just really, really poignant folk music to this kind of like really intellectual. She's a very intellectual artist.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of interesting because I think part of the difficulty, I would imagine, I saw her on Dancing with the Stars, I think a week ago, 2 weeks ago, and they did not know what to do with her.
Mm. She's an interesting artist, and, you know, she's touring right now, I think, with of Montreal, which is a band that has a really strong female-fronted kind of it's a very female-friendly kind of band, and I don't know, there's a kind of creativity that I think doesn't quite work. At the same time, she's finding audiences.
Yeah.
She's finding black audiences, she's finding white audiences, she's finding audiences who aren't necessarily black and white, and she's finding them just because she's producing these unbelievable tunes.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking to this cultural moment. Everybody should be listening to Chanel, and increasingly we seem to be.
With videos that are really, I mean, her videos are incredible.
Yeah.
Her videos are incredible. Well, good. This is good music, Netta Ullaby. Now,
well,
what
good.
Is...
I'm glad you approved.
No, this is good stuff. What is coming up for you that we should all know about?
Coming up, in terms of, like, sort of, I'm about to spend a couple of weeks in L.A.
Cool.
I'm looking forward to that. And by the way, one of the other artists that I think you played, Marina and the Diamonds.
Yes.
I had never heard of until I was driving down the street in L.A. Suddenly, Marina and the Diamonds are on there. She's singing that lyric about I'm obsessed with the mess that's America. And, you know, it's a song that's very of L.A. And here I am driving down Santa Monica Boulevard. I'm hearing the song. It's all about celebrity culture and how screwy it is, and it's this total outsider's perspective of it. And I don't know, I mean, KCRW is a great filter when it comes to this kind of music. It's how I ran across both Janelle Monáe and Marina and the Diamonds. So, you know, I'm a fan of it. So
good stuff.
One of the things I'm looking forward to in this trip to L.A. is listening to a lot of KCRW and hearing this good music.
That's fantastic. And the story coming up, you said, is about women in music?
No. Actually, that's the story that I just did.
You just did this one, okay.
What I'm going to L.A. right now is, a lot of various TV and movie stories, but one of them I'm really looking forward to, and it's a story about this guy named Paris Barclay, who is an African-American, openly gay, multiple Emmy Award-winning director, who has, he's a guy who mostly does TV shows. And one of the sort of key parts of his reputation is that he's a guy who is known for getting TV shows back on track when they're flailing.
Oh.
He was an early director of Glee. Oh. He's also worked for Sons of Anarchy, which is kind of an amazing show if you haven't watched it. He's worked basically across the board on television, and a guy whose career is one worth following, I think.
Very interesting. So you're going to get to sit down with him?
Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, where do folks go, as if they don't know already, to hear all these cool stories?
Oh, NPR has a website.
They do.
It's NPR.org.
We have to do the shout-out, just in case you never know. You have to understand that when you were first on this show, on show number 10, we had, you know, like a couple hundred listeners. We got like...
How long ago was that? Was that last Christmas?
No, it was December of 2008.
You know... All this time I've been waiting by the phone.
You got that whole
like
guilt
a
thing.
Weeks, really, but it's actually been years.
No, yeah, it's been years. I know. We're all recovering from this. But yeah, no, it was a couple hundred people. Now it's 20,000-30,000 people. We got to give the NPR shout out. They might not know.
Are you serious? It's awesome.
Oh yeah, no, people apparently listen. It's the weirdest thing ever.
And I've only watched Prince Caspian, you know, maybe 200 or 300 times.
That's not so bad. That's like every, you know, 3-4 days. I thought it was much more of an addiction for you. I have to
it's
tell you,
great movie.
I love having you on the show.
No, thank you for having
me. It's just such an absolute pleasure. We're Jody, we're excited to welcome her to Vermont.
Absolutely.
You can't get anywhere without coming through Brattleboro. Is that true? Yeah. I don't know if that's actually true.
Well, at least from the south, it's difficult.
All right.
Yeah.
Don't bypass us, Netta. Stop in Brattleboro.
I shall.
Okay. Netta, an absolute pleasure having you on the show. So thrilled. It took way too long. But the 126th show is right around the corner, and we're excited. You keep doing these amazing things. You cover these parts of our culture that other people are just not covering, and we're all the better for it.
And Jody, thank you so much.
Thanks, Netta.
Thank you.
All the best.
All right.
All righty,
guys. This independent, miss self-sufficient, miss keep your distance. No, miss on her own, miss almost grown, miss never let a man help her off her throne. So by keeping her heart protected, she'd never ever feel rejected. A little misapprehensive said, ooh, she fell in love. What is the feeling?
That's some Kelly Clarkson singing Miss Independent as Netta Ulby. Love her.
Yeah.
Love her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's coming to Vermont.
I know.
We're all the better for it. So, quick little local thing.
Yep.
So, I was on iBrattleboro.com.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever go to iBrattleboro?
Sometimes.
It's our little, for folks that don't know, it's kind of a...
It's kind of gossip kind of...
Yeah.
About Brattleboro.
Yes.
Yeah.
But they covered news stories.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Just in a very gossipy kind of way.
If something's going down in Brattleboro, you can find it on iBrattleboro.
Yes. Right.
So this woman had posted, well, I'm new to the area and I'm looking for an LGBT hangout, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So these other people wrote back to her, and I'm actually going to quote them
okay. And
give out their social security numbers. They said, these were two responses. So one person said, perhaps the reason you are not getting any replies is because gays are widely accepted in all kinds of places around here.
Mm.
There is not much need for separate activities because you will be welcomed in the same bars and quilting groups that straight folks go to. And then this other person wrote, we just don't generally need that sort of thing in Brattleboro. I've had an extremely small number of homophobic incidents in Vermont, and I don't think any have been in Brattleboro. Brattleboro doesn't even have a gay bar because almost every bar in town is open and accepted. So this kind of annoyed me.
Okay.
Okay. And I perhaps when I'm annoyed, say things.
Like things when you're angry and you yell at people or something. Oh,
and then I type them on iPhone.
I see.
Really delete. So I said, I'll just say the gist of what I said. I perhaps won't read what I said.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't like this concept where we say, well, everything is open and accepting. By the way, great to say that Brattleboro exists in a vacuum of a wider context, because every place is open, which it's not. Yes, Brattleboro is some sort of little haven, but it's still got some pretty major issues here.
Yeah, but I will have to say that in for the most part, I agree with the two people who commented and said that there isn't as big a need. Don't you touch that. You keep me on, mister.
No. Okay.
No. And I'm going to just speak from my own personal experience.
Speak from the eye.
Yes. I personally don't feel that I need lots of gay space in this area because I feel so comfortable. I'm a whole person in Brattleboro. I'm not Jody, the lesbian who needs to go to the lesbian bar or the gay bar in order to feel accepted with a community. I feel Jody, the whole person, has community here. And I don't feel that, and I never have to hide, and never have to say, you know, I never have to say, the person I live with, my friend,
right.
I can say my wife, and nobody goes, what do you mean your wife? You know, I don't get any of that. I don't even get that in my work community.
Well, let me be clear, though. I am not, because I disagree, but not with everything you said. I disagree
I don't need a gay bar or specific LGBT meetups because I'm looking for acceptance. So this is the piece, and that's what I tried to clarify on there. And someone said tolerance. I'm like, no. First of all, I'm not looking for tolerance at all.
Well, no, that's the wrong word. Yeah.
But I'm not. I don't need a gay bar or what a gay quilting group. I don't really need a gay quilting group. But I don't.
Some people do.
I don't. I'm speaking from the eye. I don't. Because I'm looking for acceptance. It's because I have a very unique and enjoyable and wanted experience being around other gay people in a very specific context. And I really, it's just a social environment. It's not about me being more comfortable there. Mm-hmm. It's just something that is very particular that I really, really enjoy that I can't get going to these other places in town where I'm sure there are gay people and they're accepted and tolerated. But I there is a different vibe that is missing that I obviously am struggling to articulate, but that's the piece.
No, I hear what you're saying. It's, I mean, you're looking for your people so you can share the stuff that you have in common and chat about the stuff that you have in common. And I get that. I mean, that's,
but not even to talk about
it. And not just to chat. I know
just
to feel that. And people of any sort want that. The quilters want to get together and be quilters together and get quilt geeky and talk about fabric and go shopping for fabric together and all
are
that.
These real people?
These are real people.
This is good.
Some of them are my friends, in fact. This is what I don't quilt, but I love quilts. Okay. And I have several friends who do quilting. Okay. And it's a similar thing. You know, they have that sort of that little piece of culture that they share with each other. And I totally get that.
Yeah.
I mean, other subgroups have that too. You know, people who love a particular kind of music,
Absolutely.
People who are of, who are fans of fans of a particular movie, people who love Harry Potter.
So then you're on board. So
I get that.
It's not for acceptance.
No, I totally get it.
All right. Well, I just want to put that out there. So
yeah.
Go over to eyebrowtobrow.com if you want to weigh in, or send us an email at thisshowissogay@AOL.com. I actually fell a little bit behind this week. I have a couple emails to respond to. I will do that straight away, but send an email to thisshowissogay@AOL.com. Stroll on over to thisshowissogay.com to listen to past shows. Check out upcoming guests. Amazing, amazing upcoming guests, including next week, Scott Heim, an author I have been obsessed with for so long. I've met him a few times. And sitting in the guest host chair next week, famed author Suzanne Kingsbury. So that's
cool.
Really exciting. So go on over to thisshowissogay.com. And you have to go to the Facebook and type in This Show Is So Gay and join our little fan club there. Someone is really pushing me, Steph Long, to get a This Show Is So Gay Twitter account. I'm kind of ambivalent about it. I'm not sure if I'm going to do it. But the most important thing, adults out there, kids, we love you. Keep listening to the show. Adults, go be a freaking role model. Be a role model. Get the tools that you need to stop bullying. Get the tools that you need to intervene when youth are really struggling, because you really will be that change.
Yep.
It's do not put this back on the youth to resolve themselves. Oh, they just need to be nicer. No, you need to step in. You need to do something.
Yep.
Good deal?
Good deal.
Get out there, folks. Go do some amazing, amazing things. And above all else, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?